Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Always fun every other Wednesday when it's an SC Wild night here on Sports Talk. Chris Berg and Pat Daniel in the studio. We'll catch up with Major Billy Downer here in just a quick second. They have just come off the practice field up at Clemson. Dabo Sweeney's press conference has just gotten finished, and they've got the video up online. We'll have a story up on our website, rather, at sportstalksc.com a little bit later on tonight. May get you a little Dabo on the program tomorrow. Apologize for not being able to get it out to you here this evening, but we make room for the great outdoors as we say hello to Major Billy Downer from the South Carolina DNR joining us here tonight. Major Downer, how are you, sir?
Good to be here. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's middle of turkey season across the state right now. Every county's open, every game zone's open, and today I just checked it for those that may be interested. To date, 4,639 turkeys have been taken across the state.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good number. And it will get larger as we go through the season. Tends to slow down a little bit toward the end of the season, but that's where we are right now in the season. It's getting hot. Things change for me when it gets hot turkey hunting. First of all, you got to bring the thermocell out or the mosquitoes will carry you off. The second thing you got to be careful of when you're in the turkey woods now is Mr. No Shoulder and every snake alive. I was very fortunate last week after my show with Phil. We did some turkey calls on the show, and had a custom call given to me to take a field, and I did that, and took a bird on Sunday morning. Had a great experience, good hunt. A little boring. Birds did not gobble. A lot of folks talking about birds not gobbling. We talked about that last show with Jay Cantrell, talking about just the different theories out there. But bird did not gobble. Bird did hit the ground. Came into the decoy, I was able to take the bird. I was happy, you know, took a picture of the bird on the ground, put it over my shoulder, I'm walking out, and about got bit by a cottonmouth in the middle of a cut field. So nowhere near water. But I was wearing snake boots, so word to the wise, if you're turkey hunting this time of year and it's warm as it is, make sure you're wearing a pair of good snake boots or you better be quick on your feet.
Without a doubt. You mentioned almost 5,000 turkeys taken thus far in the state. That sounds like, for a novice like myself, a very, very high number. Is it to this point? And what is our state? Do we have a limit as to how many turkeys can be harvested before the state would actually shut down turkey season?
No, they won't shut turkey season down. So you're limited to 3 birds apiece across the state. So we're actually right on track. We're not really high at all. We're where we normally see our take ratio at. So if you think about it, there's about, I want to say about 30,000 turkey hunters in the state, and they only take, you know, about maybe be 6,000 birds, something like that. We talked about it last show. And so 1 in 5, you know, is successful. So, the ratio, it works out. Birds are doing fine. But this time of year, you know, I went with my son this past weekend. Birds did gobble on the roost. I mean, I don't know all the factors in there. I sure like a cold morning. It sure feels like the birds gobble a whole lot better on a cold morning. But that's just my layman's way of looking at it. I like, you know, a cold morning, I can hear those birds gobble. Seems like it echoes through the woods good. But so I enjoyed that. We did not take a bird. We did get to see some birds on the ground. Had a hen come check us out all the way up to the blind we were in. And but a good morning, even though we did not take a bird because we got to hear birds.
Very cool stuff. Major Billy Downer with us tonight here on Sports Talk. It's another SC Wild edition of the program talking turkeys. So are you a bow hunter when you go turkey, or are you a more gun and rifle? How do you handle your turkey?
No, I am a shotgun hunter by trade. Absolutely shotgun by trade. So I have not gotten to the point where I'm so good I want to take a, archery equipment. However, there are a lot of people that do that and are very successful. I got a really good friend that's very successful with archery equipment. So that's absolutely one day maybe. I'm not really saying I would do it because, you know, I'll even say this. I'll admit on air that I have missed with a shotgun before, not this year, but 2 years ago, first time I ever missed, and I couldn't believe it. It's one of those times you shoot and you're looking over the gun, you're like, what just happened? But it happens. And somebody tells you they haven't missed.
They're not telling
you
the truth.
They're lying. They're not telling the truth. They've hunted 20 years or more. You're going to miss at some point.
Major Billy Downer with us tonight. It is an SC Wild night here on Sports Talk. I've got to get into this story from the upstate about a flesh-eating piranha, it appears, or at least a fish that looks like one in the upstate. We'll touch on that in a little while. But Pat was telling me you actually have someone with you for the show tonight. Is that correct?
I have someone with me to be an expert in that fishing deal. It's my training lieutenant, Eric Martin. He hails from Pickens County. He now is a resident of Oconee. But he is a Pickens County resident, an avid bass fisherman, fishes on the semi-pro trail, known southeastern wide, and he's laughing right now, but he's pretty good. He's putting his girl through college doing it, so he does pretty good. Eric, thanks for coming tonight. All right, hit us with the question. Eric, you know about this fish. Tell us about the fish.
Are you all ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead. Hit it.
Is the radio?
Yeah, we good.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so the Paku fish that was caught is a close relative to a piranha. The Paku fish of question itself.
Spell Paku for me.
P-A-C-U.
He did graduate Pickens High School. I mean, that's our Daniel High School. So we're good.
All right, so it's a cousin of the piranha. It's a tropical fish. We see them a lot in the aquarium trade, and they typically do not eat flesh. They are a herbivore, pretty much. They eat plant matter, and their native environment, they would be eating fruits that would drop into the water from the overhanging trees and bushes, and they would eat the vegetation around the waterways of their native environment. So they have teeth similar to like a sheep head that would be found off our coast. But what happens when people put them in their aquarium, they grow very fast, and they end up outgrowing the environment of the size of aquarium that people have. And people think that it's a good idea to release them into our waterways. And that's where, if you got caught, you'd be in trouble, because it's actually illegal to put any fish in the South Carolina waters.
It's not native.
So obviously this one's not. So it is kin to a flesh eating piranha, but this fish that's in question that was caught by the young fellow up there in Clemson is not a flesh eating piranha.
It was not a piranha. So let's make it clear. It was not a piranha, but it was a cousin. I mean, we can be cousins and not look the same. So
very true.
Anyway, but yeah, you know, it's not the first fish to be thrown into the water from aquariums. This caused problems. We have that everywhere across the nation. That's been a problem. And so in this state, typically it's a tropical fish that really doesn't make it in cold weather usually. Mm-hmm. So interesting, this fish got caught recently. So a lot of times they don't make it. Just like we talked about before on the show with Phil, you know, Florida's got a tremendous problem with just people putting snakes out. They got a boa. Or, boa constrictor, or the variety of pythons, and they get tired of feeding it, so they let it go. Well, Florida has a tropical climate, and so those animals have been able to thrive and actually breed, and Florida has a tremendous problem with resident python and boa constrictors in the wild, in the Everglades, and they actually are paying money to people in some cases to take them. They do boa roundups and all kind of things to promote people removing these animals because they are not supposed to be there. But because somebody put them out and they're in an area that can live, they can actually survive, they do. now I will say this carefully, in South Carolina, our climate gets cold enough that they can't survive here. So that's good news for us. Typically, fish like that from the tropics can't survive in cold water if we get a cold winter. But if you have a mild winter, sometimes they can make it. But the pacu is an interesting-looking fish nonetheless.
But, guys, I would assume this is an illegal practice if you have a tropical fish in your aquarium and you don't want it there anymore and you actually go out to Lake Hartwell and dump it in the lake hoping nobody... I mean, what is DNR's recourse to something like this? Because I would imagine whoever dumped it that fish into the lake is not going to tell you.
If you caught... Yeah, if you caught somebody doing it. That's the difficult part. Catch somebody doing it. You can charge them with introducing an exotic species. So there are laws against that. But catching them is a whole other story. It's the same way we got hydrilla. Some of the other things around our systems that we've gotten, people put in the lakes from their aquariums and just became tremendous problems. Old hydrilla got spread by just boat trailers across the state, across the southeast. It's incredible. How fast exotic things can spread under the right circumstances. So, anyway. So, not a piranha. But back to turkeys, last show we talked about it a little bit. Some people, when they talk about turkeys in season this time of year, when birds are breeding hens, they can get henned up. You won't see a bird leave a group of hens. Because he's not leaving his girlfriend, basically. You ain't going to call him off her because he can see her. And she's moving around. Looks a whole lot better probably than your decoy. But as these hens finish getting bred and they go to nest, and so they'll go fly down in the morning, and then they're going to leave that gobbler and go start laying eggs in a bowl somewhere they make to lay their eggs, those gobblers begin getting a little desperate. And that's when a lot of people feel like some of the best turkey hunting happens. I don't know. There's a lot of argument about early season being good, too, because birds aren't as educated. If you got a lot of hunting pressure, late season can be terrible because birds are educated. As soon as they see a decoy, they run another way. Around the house, just trying to do general scouting. And, when you say turkey scouting, most scouting is done from a vehicle. People get in the truck and they ride around. Ride up and down the road, see a turkey in the field, stop, roll the window down, look out. Well, eventually, even the jakes, the little young birds don't know a whole lot. I can stop at one field, and it's two jakes take off every time, which tells me they're getting bothered all the time. And it makes it tremendously hard to hunt fields where you've got road traffic because people are constantly stopping looking at birds. Even if they're not trying to hunt them, they're looking at them. And that disturbance just makes it tougher. And the later in the season you get, the more that's going on, birds won't go in the fields for long. They're going to stay in the woods, or they're going to go out and screw up where they can be seen. Don't get me wrong. But they don't stay out in those fields. They get out in the middle of the field where you can't get to them. They won't stay on the edge long. So a lot of factors in late season coming up here. We got, a good number of weeks left in the season here, into the month for turkeys and a lot more birds to be taken. We're very early, this month, and still not quite mid-season, really. I said mid-season because everybody's out hunting, and it's open everywhere, but the upstate just opened up on the 1st, so they've got the time period there where they can only shoot one bird, and then they'll move to where they can shoot the second bird after this weekend. But anyway, a lot going on as far as that. Fishing-wise, Eric, what's biting up in the upstate or on the lakes right now? Bass starting to do that?
Actually, everything. Our striper hybrid fishing is really good. Crappie is wide open. They're starting to get real shallow. And
crappie, is that going to be on beds?
They're getting close. They're getting close. Depends on what body of water you're on. But bass is kind of split between a little bit of pre-spawn. And,
hold on a minute. Your professional opinion, tell us about bass.
All right. Bass is right now kind of in between your pre-spawn and spawn. A lot of, I think we got the major league fishing guys down here on Lake Murray right now. A lot of those professional anglers are actually looking at them sight fishing. There is a heron spawn going on. right now, which is
and when we say spawn, those fish are trying to
the herring's a bait fish, so they're up in the shallows spawning, and then of course the bass that have already spawned out, or some of the pre-spawn bass that haven't went to bed yet, they're up there chasing the herring.
Just to be clear, when we say go to bed, that don't mean they go in their bed like we do and put the covers over. Now we're talking about they make a bed to lay their eggs. Just want to be clear. When Phil's here, I'd be definitely having to be very clear. Phil gets very confused.
Yes, that's pretty easy.
We're talking about going to bed. He wants to put his night clothes on. I mean, you know, we're talking about fish going to bed and creating a bowl in the sand or in the bottom to lay their eggs. Go ahead.
But this will actually the end of this week, this coming weekend is going to be a huge bedding cycle for the bass with the moon phase the way it is. And so there's going to be a really big shove of large females move shallow looking for mates, and they'll dump their eggs and get them fertilized, and then they'll move back offshore and take a break for a while, and then the herring fishing should continue through at least mid-May.
SC Wild here tonight on Sports Talk. Major Billy Downer. We're talking turkey season, also a little fishing here in South Carolina. And guys, if you don't mind, we've actually got a phone call that we'd love to get on with you guys. Maybe you can give your expert opinion to Danny over in Georgetown, hanging out with us here tonight on Sports Talk. Danny, you're up on SC Wild. Good evening.
Hey, Danny, yeah, thanks for being on the show. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just doing this very thing you're talking about. I went hunting this morning and everything. Billy, I got a question.
How was your hunt this morning?
It was good. You know, I got fairly close on the bird, but I couldn't quite get him to close the deal on me. Come on in. You know, just typically what you're talking about. You know, probably
can
had
gobble.
Ideas, but I never heard. But I, you know, that's very common in this time frame, just like you say. Billy.
Sure. What's going on? What's your question?
Yeah, I got a question for you, and it concerns, I guess, baiting and agricultural fields. You know, and I think everybody pretty much understands you can't throw out corn, you can't throw out grains, you know. But when it comes to planted agricultural fields, what conditions, I guess, make it rise to where that field is illegal to hunt in? What criteria? I guess, under what conditions does, say, fields that are planted under normal agricultural conditions constitute baiting, and it basically puts them off limits? Can you elaborate on that any?
Sure, be happy to. So, basically, if a field – so when you talk about turkeys and you talk about baiting, you almost have to – you just compare it to almost like waterfowl, because waterfowl is a strict rule of law on baiting. Turkeys the same way. If a field has been planted by a normal agricultural practice, as in a planter has put that seed in the ground at the depth that Clemson University suggests, whatever, in the normal course of turning around the field, if seed spills a little bit, you know, and trying to start that planter, that's not a problem as long as that field's been planted with, you know, again, under normal agricultural conditions. You're not going to have a problem. Most problems come in with people, just as you say, trying to topsow something. You can't topsow a field, which this time of year, you don't topsow anyway. So you don't have that problem as far as there's not any agricultural practice now that allows for topsowing in April. So that's not a problem. The problems we see the most, this may not necessarily hit your question, but it hits a lot of people's questions. We have people multi-using property, particularly in Clarendon County, Sumter County. We've got a lot of folks that have duck ponds across the state, waterfowl impoundments, and they plant corn, and they hunt ducks over it. And then they drop the fields in February, and they go to prepare that field for the next year. So they go in there, they're bush hogging that corn down. Then they want to go turkey hunting. Well, you can't do that because you spread that corn everywhere. That's something you can't do. Another common one is people like to plant chufas for turkeys. Great. It's a great practice. You can plant chufas. Now, this time of year, you can plant chufas in April, but chufas have to be covered up. Now, if turkey goes in there and starts scratching them up, that's okay, but you got to plant chufas at the right time. Yep. So another thing people like to do is this time of year, like to take a plow and this through the chief to turn them up so the turkeys find them. Now, the chief is a nut grass, so it has a grass on the top and a nut underneath the ground. And if the birds don't know about it, they don't know to scratch it. So a lot of times people have to disc it up a little bit, break it up. The birds find the nut, and they learn to turn that nut up. But when you turn that ground and expose that nut, you can't hunt that area anymore. So if you do that to let the birds learn how to do it, you basically killed that site for the year pretty much for turkey season. However, once they learn it, if a bird goes in and exposes that seed on his own, it's not bait. It's about the bird did that. Just like a duck eating on a corn stalk and spreading corn's not baiting either. It's the fact, it's the act of him eating actively that spreads that corn. So strict rule, it has to be planted according to Clemson guidelines, because that's our agricultural department in South Carolina. Normal rate, normal depth, and covered appropriately. And you're not going to have any problem. There's no crop you can plant under normal agricultural practices you couldn't hunt over the next day, because it's going to be the normal agricultural practice. Because we don't have topsoil this time of year, so you don't have that problem like you do with some of the other areas. If somebody goes out there in a cow field and throws oats out across it, which they shouldn't be doing this time of year anyway, it's not the time of year to do it, then you're not going to be able to hunt over it because you've exposed grain everywhere. I hope that pretty much hits most of the high spots of your question.
Yes, sir. You did a very good job of explaining it, Billy. Yeah, we
you
just
can't, you can't manipulate the main thing.
Yeah,
if you got standing crops, you can't manipulate it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's kind of like, and I understand what you're talking about with ducks. Basically, you're not allowed to manipulate that, even in a planted impoundment. You're not allowed to manipulate
right.
that grain. You're not allowed to bush hog it or anything. It's got to be, basically, it's got to fall off the stalk naturally itself and everything.
That's right.
And
so everybody's got these duck ponds, and they drop the water,
yeah.
and they bush hog it, and the turkeys hit the field. They want to go turkey hunt it. You can't do that.
That's right. But there's no issue. Say if a field was left, you know, kind of in this time of year, you know, where they left, say, standing corn in the field, or just, you know, just whatever, you know, whatever. People do strange things for strange reasons. But I mean, if you had a case, say, where they just had not started their normal agricultural practices, but they had not manipulated the grain at all, what you're telling me is that would not constitute baiting until they tried to tear it up, basically. You know,
that's correct.
That's kind of
so people,
what you're saying.
People do that. People leave standing corn up. And as long as you don't touch it and bother it, if it's falling over in the wind, that's not a problem. But if somebody's run over with equipment, then you've manipulated it. But if it's standing and it's broke over or whatever by the wind, that's not manipulation, and that's okay. And some people do that. Some people leave deer standing. They still leave it up for deer through January. They just don't do nothing to it until April. And you can hunt over that, yes. If you ever got a question, of course, always call 1-800-922-5431. That's our OGT hotline. And you can talk, leave your name, number, local officer. You've got a question, and local officers in your county can give you specific answers. Sometimes they may know the area and be familiar to answer specific questions. But that's pretty much covers it.
Danny,
we got a little time left.
Actually, running out of time, guys. Danny, I appreciate the phone call. Major Downer, we appreciate the info tonight. Really fun stuff here on FC Wild.
All right, well, thanks again. Enjoy the show. Look forward to next time.
Absolutely. That's Major Billy Downer of the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Every other Wednesday here on Sports Talk, we like to play a little round of SC Wild, talking turkeys and piranha fish, not native to South Carolina. Let's make sure of that. So don't take that annoying fish that's in your tropical fish tank at home and go dump it into Lake Hartnell. Not a good idea, obviously. I want to thank everybody for listening on the program. Thanks to Major Billy Downer, also to Smitty. Appreciate MJ Ward coming in tonight as well. Corn's back tomorrow. Get you ready for South Carolina, LSU, Clemson, Florida State. Have a good evening. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Sports Talk.